Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Tuesday, August the 5th. Coming up, a Margate mum battling breast cancer is locked in legal battle with a tenant as she tries to sell her home to fund treatment. Police launch a crackdown on catapult crime, and the boss of a coffee company says thank you to supporters following a devastating fire. But first up today, this is our top story on the website. A family have been forced to leave a Kent holiday park right in the middle of the night after finding bugs on their bedding. Reporter Oliver Leonard has been covering this story and joins me now on the podcast. Oliver, thanks ever so much for being on the episode. This sounds like an absolute nightmare. Firstly, can you tell us where the Allen family had booked into?
Hi, Nicola. Yes, the family had booked a five-night stay at the Parkdean Resorts in St Margaret's Bay near Dover. It was meant to be a simple, relaxing break for their four children and the family, and it was actually their second time staying there. They'd been the previous summer with no issues.
And when did they notice the problem?
Well, they noticed the issue just a few hours after arriving. Catherine Allen had put her baby down and gone to bed when her husband had got back from the shops. He pulled back the duvet and noticed bugs crawling on their bedding. He'd already spotted some in some of the children's room as well. And that was when he found them on the pillow where their three-month-old baby was sleeping.
As I mentioned at the very start, they didn't stay there. What did they do?
Well, as soon as they noticed the problem, the family tried to contact the reception, but it was closed. So they managed to get hold of night security. A guard came out, filmed one of the bugs and contacted a manager. But the family claims they weren't offered much help. In the end, they packed up and left at around 2:30 in the morning. They checked into a nearby travel lodge with just the bare essentials, nappies, bottles, a few clothes, and left everything else behind in the caravan.
And how has the ordeal left them feeling?
Catherine told us that the whole experience has been incredibly stressful and expensive. They had to replace clothes for six people during a heatwave, and they estimate that they spent over £1,000 as a result. This is because after their stay at Parkdean, they were going on for a further holiday up north. They also lost a full week of their holiday, something she says is a big deal when her husband only gets 2 weeks off a year. But more than anything, she feels the situation wasn't taken seriously and that they were treated with very little care.
Finally, Oliver, what response have we had from Parkdean Resorts?
Well, bosses at Parkdean have since apologised for the ordeal. The company has provided a full refund, covered the cost of the hotel, and called in specialist contractors to treat the issue. However, the Allen family still feel that they should have been provided with some form of compensation.
Oliver, thank you ever so much. And you can see pictures within that story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Elsewhere today, a police investigation is underway following the death of a man in Sittingbourne. Officers have been called to reports of a collision involving a car and a man who'd fallen from a wall into St Michael's Road near Dover Street on Saturday night. We're told the family of a man in his 30s have been told. Detectives want to hear from anyone who saw what happened. A sex offender who assaulted a disabled man in Ramsgate railway station has avoided being sent to prison despite having a record of previous attacks. Sasha Mazouz touched the victim's leg after he missed a train and got stranded in the early hours of the morning in June. The 47-year-old from Charlotte Street in Folkestone has been given a suspended sentence, ordered to carry out rehab sessions, and will be subject to a curfew for 6 months. Now, a Margate mum who's battling breast cancer says she's stuck in a nightmare legal battle to evict a tenant from her family home. Kelly Eastland needs £60,000 to pay for pioneering treatment in Germany. She'd been renting out a maisonette where she used to live, but decided to sell up to fund the treatment. Well, Kelly has been telling me about what's happened in recent months.
We decided to go with a company who just buys houses quickly for kind of slightly below market value. Got an offer straight away. It was quite difficult to actually get the offer in the first place because we had 13 viewings, but the tenant only allowed four people out of the 13 that was booked to view. After that point, he just refused all access and basically refused to talk to us. So we served a Section 8 eviction notice. He then asked for 3 months to look for somewhere to live, which we agreed. After the 3 months had passed, he just, again, stopped talking to us, refused to move out. So we filed the Section 8 notice with the courts. We had a court hearing in December in 2024, was awarded possession of the property. And it was at that point that the tenant went and got a legal aid solicitor, and we discovered he had actually given us a false name. So the solicitor done an emergency hearing, which happened in February 25, and the possession order was thrown out, and we've had to start everything again.
It just sounds unbelievable that someone can do that, particularly knowing why you need the cash. I mean, how has all this made you feel? Because you've had to go through all these legal loopholes when you're trying to focus on your treatment as well.
It's been an absolute nightmare because we can't afford solicitors of our own. So we're kind of having to try and do all of the paperwork and all of the court stuff and kind of understand all the legal terms ourselves, as well as looking after the children, running the house, and still having my treatment. So it really, really runs me down.
Can you just describe the home to us? What's it like?
Yeah, it's a small two-bedroomed masonette with a tiny courtyard garden. It's literally a living room, kitchen, bathroom downstairs, and then two bedrooms upstairs. Both the bedrooms are just, there's no furniture in there. It's full of dog crates, and dogs are being kept in the crates. The house is just absolutely filthy.
And how does that make you feel? Because that was your home for a long time.
Yeah, it's really upsetting to see it that way, especially because I kind of personally picked out the kitchen and the tiles for the floor and the carpets, and I bought my children home there from the hospital, and there's just so many memories there.
Tell us a bit more about this treatment in Germany that you're hoping to have done. What does it involve and why is it so expensive?
I think it's called dendritic cell therapy. So they will take my blood, develop it in a lab for 7 days, then inject it back in. That then makes all cancer cells visible because the type of cancer I've got, it's got like a kind of cloaking system so that your immune system doesn't recognize it as cancer cells. So it allows your own body to attack it. So it's minimally invasive. Not a huge amount of side effects. So that's one part of the treatment. The other part of the treatment is in another part of Germany, and that's a specialized radiation that targets the bone lesions and destroys the bone lesions.
And how much of the money will you get from the sale of the property if you're able to get rid of this tenant and sell it as you plan to?
Originally, if we'd managed to sell it, with the original buyer's offer, we would have just about made enough money for my treatment and for the travel. As it stands now, we've had to accept another offer because the original buyer's pulled out. So we've had to accept an offer of 103,000 because he won't allow a surveyor in to look at the property. So they're buying it blind. And that after the mortgage is paid off, that's not going to leave us with enough money. For the treatment or the travel.
We've got a link to Kelly's fundraising page within the story at Kent Online and we'll bring you any further updates.
Kent Online reports.
A motorcyclist has died in a crash on the Thanet Way. The man in his 60s had been riding at the front of a four-bike convoy when it happened on the coastbound A299 on Sunday morning. The collision also involved a Citroën C3 that was travelling in the same direction. A man's been taken to hospital after being attacked in Ramsgate. The victim was hit with what's been described as a blunt object in Harbour Parade in the early hours of Saturday. The suspect had left the scene before police arrived. Officers are going through CCTV. Police have launched a crackdown on catapult crime in Kent following concerns about people and wildlife being targeted.
Stay down!
So I'm based at Mason Police Station. We've had multiple reports of kids firing at birds in the trees.
Since the start of June, the force has received around 14 calls a day about the use or possession of the weapons.
Now I've seen you up there looking up at the trees with a catapult in your hand. You had a catapult in your hand that's got white on it.
Officers and PCSOs have been searching suspects, including a group of four children in Coxheath and these two in the Fant area.
So you're entitled to a copy of the search record and your parents will be informed.
Yep.
All right?
Yep.
Do they know that you've got catapults?
Yep.
No. What are they going to say about it? Or will they be impressed? Were they be impressed that you're killing animals?
Another officer was filmed approaching children who were damaging a derelict building in Rochester.
I'm in the building, clearing it out. Anyone in here, make yourself known! Stay there! Come out here now, all of you! I'm going to be searching you for items that I believe you've come here equipped to commit criminal damage with.
Except,
so a catapult.
Yeah.
And ball bearings.
Yeah,
I find it funny, but it's not funny at the moment.
Yeah,
given the aspect of everything.
Now, it's not illegal to carry or own a catapult, but the force says they will be destroyed if they're being used to commit crime or antisocial behaviour.
Kent Online reports.
Dozens of couples have been left devastated after police dropped a fraud investigation into a Kent videographer. The boss of Wallflower Weddings, Sarah Stanton, was accused of failing to supply content as agreed. Well, officers say there's not enough evidence to prove she acted with dishonest intent. Footage they seized will now being returned to the company instead of being given to the couples. A former BT storage depot in Gravesend is going to be turned into housing. Plans to build a four-storey apartment block on the site at Milton Place have been given the go-ahead. There will be 76 new homes in total. It's all part of the council's plan to bring brownfield land back into use. Now, the boss of a Kent coffee business has thanked everyone who donated to a GoFundMe after they suffered a devastating fire. Around 100 emergency crews were called to Sittingbourne's Eurolink industrial estate when Hormozy Coffee went up in flames back in April. Just over 3 months later, the company's back up and running in a new building at Precision 2 Business Park. And director Ruben Hormozy has been chatting to our reporter, Joe Crosley.
Very quickly, we come into this premises thanks to Eddie, a friend of mine. He didn't make us go through real estate agents and got us in the door very quickly, which was amazing. But we needed a space. We had to start ordering things again, and we had nowhere for it to go. Once we came in, we looked at the premises, and we saw it was just an empty shell, and we just started getting quotes. And a lot of local businesses, they helped us out a lot, really. They gave us very competitive prices and put us right to the front of the queue. They knew that we needed everything done as soon as possible. They really did some amazing work for us to get it done as quickly as they did.
And the roasters that you're actually standing next to, these have been rescued from the old site, right?
Yes, exactly. So when the fire was happening, the commander of the fire brigade that was sort of in charge at the time, he came over and he asked me if there's anything that we can try to save, what would you like us to save? And I said, it's a big ask, but if we can sort of limit the damage to the roasters, would be amazing, because that's really the biggest ticket item that we have, and it's our moneymaker. You know, that's what the whole business revolves around. He said, you know, we can't make any promises, but we'll do the best we can. And I mean, looking at them, you can see, considering where they were, I think they did a good job. Of course, there was work to be done on them, but thankfully, my dad, he's the engineer, and straight away, as soon as we got the premises, he had them apart and started working on them, making sure that they all ran right, rewiring them, and yeah, here they are, two of them running.
Good stuff. And how important was it that those were actually saved from the fire?
It was, I mean, financially, I don't think I would have been able to buy both of these roasters again. One, maybe. One, with all the support we had, one we could have pushed through, but both would have been difficult. So it would have been a decision of, do we continue with wholesale, do we continue with retail? Thankfully, we were able to continue with both.
And the GoFundMe, how important was that as well? Because the community came around you, really.
Yeah, huge, huge. I mean, so at the moment, everything here, everything that we've done has been funded from savings, selling off assets, And really, the I think at the end it turned out to be just under £10,000 from the GoFundMe, which, unbelievable, you know, a huge boost. Very helpful.
Kent Online News.
Operation Brock on the M20 is set to remain in place for at least another week after heavy holiday traffic at the Port of Dover. There were delays in the town as people headed for ferries on Saturday. The contraflow between Maidstone and Ashford is designed to queue lorries so other traffic can keep moving. It was put in place ahead of the school holiday and emergency planners say it'll be staying put. New data has revealed thousands of pounds worth of premium bond winnings have been left unclaimed in Kent. The investments scheme works by entering savers in a monthly draw for tax-free prizes of up to £1 million. More than 67,000 prizes are unclaimed across the county, worth a total of £2.5 million. Well, Kristin Hawthorne from our colleagues at KMTV has been chatting to people about it in Rochester.
I do have a premium bond. I got it when I was born in 1968. So my parents bought me one for £1. And it's sat in a drawer for about 45, 50 years. And not so long ago, I checked it, and I've won nothing.
And what stopped you checking it for so long?
I forgot I had it. And I was clearing out the drawers. I think I was moving out or something, or my mum was chucking the rest of the stuff that I moved out when I was about 23, and she decided that after about 20 years, she was going to move the rest of my stuff out, and she found it and gave it to me. So I thought, well, I better check that, because I could do with a bit of money.
Do you think that the government should do more to remind people or tell people that they should maybe update their details or this or that?
Yeah, I think every now and again it would be a good idea, but I mean, I think there's also an onus on people to understand exactly what investments they do have.
I first started having a premium bond when I was about 10, and I've bought them just a few, and now I understand that there's a bigger platform for checking them, and there's a lot of help. I've seen that recently online, and I think that's a great thing.
Do you have a premium bond? When was the last time you checked it?
The other day, I just checked it, but we haven't won anything lately.
Yeah, but you have won.
We have won a couple of times, yeah. But not big amounts.
Fabulous. How much did you win?
One was 125.
One was 125 and one was 100, I think. Yeah.
And so there's millions of back from the government. Do you think that, you know, if you updated your address, or do you think that the government do enough effort to let people know, maybe if someone hasn't updated their details, or do you think that's more of someone's own responsibility?
Normally it's just paid straight into the bank, isn't it?
Yeah, it goes straight into the bank, so a lot of people change their address, would they? But yeah, you should change it, shouldn't you, each time? We have, each time we've moved.
I checked it on Monday, I think it was, and mine wasn't a winner, my wife's was. £200.
Brilliant. And so, I mean, do you find that people should be checking them more, or what do you think the issue is? Because a lot of people move house and then they don't update it.
Yes, I've actually got a bond that my grandmother purchased. It was a £1 bond, and I've actually kept it. But I've never checked that bond to see if that won.
Yeah, so maybe it'd be worth checking. You could
absolutely, I could be a millionaire.
The owners of a bar in Sandwich have been given the go-ahead to stay open until 11 at night. Caroline and Matthew Allum took over the old pharmacy with business partner Ben Nash earlier this year. They'd applied to the council to allow them to open later on Thursday, Friday and Saturday and until 7 p.m. on Sundays. Meantime, a couple who lost their tech jobs in London have launched a taco bike on a business park in Medway. The pair say they were inspired after watching movie Chef, about a celeb chef who quits his LA restaurant to start a food truck venture. Well, Tini from Texas is currently serving customers on the city estate in Strood. A collection of Stone Age tools has sold for more than £41,000 at auction in Kent. The hand axes and other items were collected by an enthusiast during walks along the beaches and cliffs at Bishopstone, Reculver and Herne Bay. They went under the hammer at Canterbury Auction Galleries. And a Harry Potter star has been spotted at an ice cream shop in Whitstable. Rupert Grint, who plays Ron Weasley in the films, visited Bear's Ice Cream Imaginarium with his family at the weekend. The owners say it was an exciting surprise, especially for their young children.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and ahead of Gillingham's first home game of the season, Armani Little has been speaking about being named captain. The midfielder was handed the armband ahead of Saturday's trip to Accrington Stanley, and he took the set-piece kick that rescued a point for the Gills on the road. Well, our sports reporter Luke Cordell caught up with him after he led the team out.
Obviously, it's a proud moment for me. I don't think that changes anything in the way I play anywhere. I've always wanted to try to be that leader. And then obviously we've got 11 other leaders out there in their different ways. So you've got some that lead by example, that are a bit more quiet. You've got the talkers. So yeah, we need everyone being that sort of character and leader. So, and we have that.
And what does it mean to you to be skipper again?
It's a real honour. And nothing beats leading the boys out with that armband on you. But at the end of the day, it doesn't mean anything. We've got a team full of leaders out there anyway.
Because I think the manager said he's got a group of leaders in the change room. There's quite a few of you now, isn't there?
Yeah, no, there is, and there's a few lads that are stepping up now, getting a little bit older, so we're trying to bring everyone out and bring the young boys with us.
Gillingham welcome Walsall to Priestfield on Saturday. And in cricket, Kent have won a warm-up game ahead of their one-day cup campaign. They beat Norfolk by 42 runs under the Duckworth-Lewis system in a rain-affected match. The first game in the competition proper is away to Sussex Sharks on Thursday. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett or one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.